It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the RBN studios here in lovely Kansas City, Missouri. We want to welcome everybody that's joining us on the show. Good show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking a lot about a lot of things going on in the life of Terry Maddox. That's right, Terry Maddox, maybe one of the most aggressive promoters in the industry. He's going to join us as our first guest here today. We'll be talking a little bit about NOW 600, ASCS, all the regions that we have with ASCS, the Old Capital Racing Series, the United Rebel Sprint Car Series, as well as the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. We'll be talking about that a lot with Terry Maddox today. What a load this guy's got on his shoulders, right? As I've said many times in the past, Terry Maddox is one of the few people I think that can actually handle the load that he's taken on with all the different open wheel sanctioning bodies that he's in charge of or owner of. It should be an interesting conversation with him. And also a guy that is one of the most interesting people in motorsports, right? When you talk about open wheel racing, maybe one of the first people that people talk about is Robert Ballew. The man does not have a filter, and that's what we love about Robert Ballew here at Racing Boys. He's been on with us many times over the years. In fact, I do believe that he was on just a couple days before the passing of Jesse Hockett when we used to do our ASCS show. Jesse Hockett used to come to our studio, sit right here with us, and do the show with us each week. And that was always a great time, but unfortunately we lost Jesse. And that was one of the saddest days maybe in my career, was the day that we got the news that Jesse Hockett had passed away. It was one of the saddest days ever. I know I can speak for Kirk Elliott myself. That was a very, very tough day for the two of us when we got the news just about 30 minutes after his passing. His dad had called, and that was just a terrible phone call to take. And then I had to call Scotty Cook and tell Scotty, who was just like this with Jesse. They were just buds. And that was a tough conversation as well. So, you know, I want to shout out, it's hard to believe that it has been 6 years since the passing of Barney Hall. Maybe the fearless leader at MRN, and what a great guy, man. Just did so much for so many different people. It's hard to believe that he passed away in 2016. It's been that long. Seems like it was just yesterday when we lost Barney Hall. So I want to give a shout out to Barney. He was one of the very best in the business when it comes to what he did for MRN and the growth of MRN and what he meant to that organization. Barney Hall was the voice and the man at MRN, and we still miss him to this day. All right, well, let's get right to it. Let's go to the phones right now, and let's bring on our friend Terry Maddox. Terry, how you doing, buddy? You doing all right?
I'm living the dream. How about you?
You know, I don't know if it's a dream or a nightmare, to be honest with you.
It depends on the day, huh?
It really does depend on the day. Let me ask you, how have you recouped from the Tulsa shootout and Chili Bowl? Because let me tell you, friend, when I was watching you there towards the end of Saturday night, you looked exhausted. Were you exhausted?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, after those two long weeks and you get to the end of Chili Bowl and you know, the last five races of the week, and you're like, you're so close, but yet so far away.
Yeah. Terry, you know, it was one of the things that we've talked about on this show. We've had a lot of people on and talked about the Chili Bowl. I think it was a fantastic race. But I think they did the right thing. You know, some people complain about it going too late, right? But if we wouldn't have reworked the track, we already heard people talking about it was taking a little bit of rubber during those B mains, right? The right thing to do as a promoter, and you know this as well as anybody, is to make sure that the fans that did stay there got a good race and got their money's worth. And that's exactly what Gravel gave them, a racetrack that was really racy. And I'm all good with it going a little bit later. I'd rather go late and have a good race than go late and have a bad race. How about you?
I'm the same way. And I mean, in years past, it's been ran about the same time anyway. So it's not like it was anything new. And, you know, always got to give a good racing service to get the best 55 laps anyone can.
Yeah. I noticed that, did Angie get down there and throw the flag a little bit? Did you let her get out there and do that?
Oh, yes, we did. I forgot what we did. It may have been during shootout on practice day or something. I can't remember. But she got down there and got to wave a flag, and she said that's all she wants to do.
That was it. She didn't want any more of it.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. She is such an asset to you, isn't she?
She really is. I couldn't do a lot of the things I do without her, even though that she hackles me about most of the stuff I do. And, you know, that's just one of them good friends looking out for you. And even though I get annoyed with it sometimes, but I know she's doing it, looking out for the best of me, and I couldn't do anything without her.
Terry, how difficult is it? I know we've talked about this, and I talk about the load that you've put on your shoulders with now 600 ASCS, Old Capital Racing Series, United Rebel Sprint Car Series, and the National Tour. You've got all that on your shoulders, right? But I've said it many times that if there was one person in this industry that could handle it, it's yourself. And, you know, we were talking to Brian Carter yesterday with the World Racing Group, and he said as much, that you have to be able to delegate authority. And I'm sure that's what you're going to try to do, is delegate authority to some people to kind of help you run a lot of these series that you've got taken on.
Yeah, that's our biggest plans when all this fell into place, was to find people that you could trust to run it the way you'd want it to be ran and take care of everything, so you wouldn't have to worry about it. Like if we're in South Dakota and doing a national race and OCRS has a race, I don't have to worry about what's going on in Oklahoma. I can worry about what we're doing and then, you know, just expect that they're going to have it all taken care of. And if anything comes up, you know, we're always a phone call away.
Yeah. Terry, the scheduling portion of it, I kind of want to get in your head a little bit here and talk about how difficult that is when you're trying not to schedule on top of each other. You've got these series that you really don't want to conflict with each other, right? But how difficult is it to be able to put something? Because, listen, there's a lot of Sooner Region races. There's a lot of OCRS races. Now, the Rebel Series, that's not as big a deal, right? Because that's kind of a Kansas thing. But how difficult is it to now 600, ASCS, and Old Capital Racing Series? How difficult is it to not step on each other's toes right there?
It was quite difficult this year because I was working on the schedule before the ASCS was presented to me. And so once all that changed and we had to go in and start moving things around. But luckily when me and Kerry Gorby became partners last year on the Oil Capital Racing Series and working together between it and the Sooner Region, we were able to talk to racetracks. And, you know, some of those tracks have had dates for years on out. And we were explaining to them that, you know, this is the betterment for Oklahoma sprint car racing, where we're not racing against each other, to get more cars, more fans, and more money in the promoters' pockets. And so when we were able to work out the schedule last year, we can kind of take what we did last year, move it into this year, and just move a few things around to make everything fit for OCRS in the Sooner Region.
Right. You know, it seems to me, Terry, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you've got yourself in a really good spot here, right? You look at your now 600 series, and that's where drivers, let's say if they want to come from go-karts or whatever, right, quarter midgets, whatever, they go to the now 600 series, they start in the junior sprints, they work their way up through the micros, up to the outlaw class, and then they can graduate, if they want to ASCS or OCRS, either one of those, right, and get some experience behind the wheel of a sprint car, and then next thing you know, they're ready to graduate to the national tour. Is there a philosophy behind doing some of that?
a few years ago, I had my, when I took on getting in with OCRS and, you know, taking some of these series over, I had a plan that I wanted to be able to be a starting point for kids and adults, and, you know, where they can run with this, starting with our indoor winter series that we do for go-karts, four-wheelers and motorcycles, quarter midgets and all that. Then you move up to now 600. And then once you get on that, you can go to OCRS or URSS. After that, you know, you come up to ASCS where you're still with the same group of people from start all the way through your racing career until you want to go for 10 racing with the All-Stars or the Outlaws.
Yeah. It starts before that, if the truth is really being known, right? Because you start these kids out on bicycles. And you know, that's the one thing that I always loved about you the most, right, is that you hadn't forgot about the little bitty kids. I know that you're doing electric cars out there at Creek County. You got a little racetrack out there for them. You've got a bicycle track. Just talk about your early years of promoting it and how that got you charged up to do what you're doing today. But just start in your early years, what you were doing.
When I was a little kid, we would always make racetracks at our house and all that. And then we moved over to Broken Arrow, and some of the neighborhood kids that were my brother Tyler's friends would come over. And that was before I got into the announcing OCRS and, you know, flagging or doing any of the other stuff. So we would race on Friday nights, and all these kids would come over. We'll have Friday night bicycle races and run it like a regular program, and did that for quite a few years. And
how many kids would show up on their bicycles?
We had four classes, and each class would have 8 to 10 in each.
Wow. That's crazy. Well, go ahead and finish what you're saying. I just wanted to know the number because that's really where it all started. So go ahead and talk about from that point on.
And then we got back over here to Drumrite, and we did the Drumrite Speedway Park and built a racetrack on the side of my dad's house, and we did those on Wednesday nights. And 2021 was our last season for that, as kids are getting ready to go to high school, and you know, some of that bicycle racing isn't cool anymore. But
right.
We're still going to do once a month on Sundays, do bicycles and power wheel races out at Creek County Speedway just to help get kids involved and hopefully continue to grow the sport and keep feeding them in.
I guess part of the reason for doing what you're doing is getting them in the habit of wanting to go and compete every week. And that kind of gets the juices flowing a little bit, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, with the bicycle stuff we did at Broken Arrow and Drumrite, we did a point series every week and did trophies and hoodies and all that at the end of the year, just like a normal banquet. You know, you got first place. We named them, you know, champ sprint class, a modified class, a B-mod class, and factory stock class. And at the end of the year, you know, tally up all the points. Josh Holt got us set up on My Race Pass, so we have an actual website. And
cool.
You know, kids would go to school and check their point standings on Thursday.
Yeah. Terry, then you kind of graduated and you started the Now 600 series. Was that the next step? Am I correct on that? Was that that was the first step? I mean, I know that you were doing the ASCS stuff and working in the office and all that, but when you branched out and wanted to expand and really take it to the next level, the Now 600 series is where it started, right?
Yeah, it started in 2013. I graduated high school in May, and our first race was held in June. Never, like, I've been around it all my life and did some work with OCRS and kind of took all the knowledge I had from all my previous years of being around the racetrack to start Now 600 and going from three races in 2013 to sanctioning over 300 last year. It's crazy.
Terry, how difficult is it with you've got Port City, you got I-44, you've got all these great venues, you've got Sweet Springs up here in Missouri. How difficult was it to get people to buy into your Now 600 in the beginning? Was that difficult?
It was, and what it mainly started out to be was to run on Friday nights when Port City or Oklahoma City wasn't running, and then it kind of just took off from there. We had a few races at Creek County, then we started growing down in Texas, and then when Mike and Megan Eubanks bought Port City in 2018, we were able to finally get our shot at Port City and been at Port City ever since. And now that Shane has it, we talk quite a bit on rules and any kind of questions either one of us have to help you know, the betterment of micro racing, and, you know, where we're able to keep now 600 going out to Port City here and there.
And I think an important piece to the puzzle, and you've probably learned a little bit of this from Emmett Hahn. I'm just saying, I don't know if that's the case or not, but you're sanctioning racetracks as well. Let's talk about some of the racetracks that you're sanctioning.
We got our weekly series under Now 600. We have Circus City Speedway in Peru, Indiana, Red Dirt Raceway in Meeker, Oklahoma, Airport Raceway out in Garden City, Kansas. We picked up Gulf Coast Speedway down in the Houston area. That's going to be their first year in 2022 under our sanctioning. Cam Raceway in Nebraska, Stewart Raceway in Nebraska. We got about 10 or 12 tracks that are on board to do the weekly deal, plus all of our regional tours and the national deal.
Yeah. How many competitors would you say that are a part of Now 600? I mean, the number's got to be massive, right?
Oh, yeah. I haven't been able to go through all the numbers for 2021, but between, you know, we sanctioned over 300 races last year from weekly to regional to national, and there's well over, I would say, 750 to 1,000 drivers that competed with us.
Man, that is an unbelievable amount of drivers and competitors when you talk about micro racing. But they're everywhere. Now, do you ever look to expand outside of the Midwest? Do you look to maybe get up, you know, me personally, Deming is a track that comes to mind. There's some other racetracks around the country that are really good micro tracks. Are you going to try to expand out to the edges of the country a little bit?
We would like to. Right now, our main focus has been on the A-class because that's been our biggest class around here, and it seems to be a growing class across the country on the East Coast and West Coast now. And, you know, a lot of the West Coast and East Coast guys are still running the Outlaws, and until I didn't really want to get too involved in Outlaw just because we don't have very many of them around here in Oklahoma, but I'm starting to, you know, get into the Outlaw deal for 2022 and have a few races for them and to see if that helps us where we can continue to grow out and maybe sanction, you know, tracks on the West and East Coast here soon.
You're going to kick off your season down at Super Bowl Speedway in Greenville, Texas. You got a bunch of classes that are going to run there. That's a 2-day show, right?
Yeah, February 18th and 19th will be our 2022 season for the National Now 600. We'll have our stock non-wing, our weekend A class, and restricted A class. Those three main national divisions will be kicking off the season down there in a few weeks.
And that's a little risky at that time of year, even down in Texas, because as we know, the weather has kind of changed down in Texas the last couple of years. Our good friend Jeff Christensen, he lives down there in San Antonio, and I think it was like 20-some degrees there the other day. So it's kind of high risk when you try to go for these early dates, isn't it, a little bit?
It is, but, you know, we started doing that in 2017, where we're starting before most of the other tracks get started, and then throughout the year we don't really run as much. We usually run in the beginning of the year and end of the year and just dibble here and there throughout the season, so we're not messing with anyone's points championships at Port City or Oklahoma City and places like that.
Yeah. You mentioned teaming up. OCRS was the first thing that, if I'm not mistaken, maybe I'm wrong, and correct me if I am, but I believe OCRS was the first purchase outside of the Now 600. Tell us how you got involved with the Oil Capital Racing Series, which is, let me tell you something, and we did the broadcast last year, and those numbers were really good. There's a lot of people that are interested in OCRS.
Back in 2018, my now partner, business partner Kerry Gorby, he bought the OCRS from Barry Grable, who I worked for when I got started in the backside of announcing, scoring, and flagging and all that. And then last year, towards the middle of the end of last year, Kerry came to me and said, I'd like to sit down with you to figure out what we can do to make this OCRS deal better. And he asked me if I wanted to buy into it and become partners on that. And I said, well, why not? But there's got to be some changes here to make OCRS better. And we did that by allowing the 305s to come in and go into a bigger wing and averaging 36 cars a night.
Right. OCRS, as you mentioned, they now the other cars, do they have to run the 16 square wing or can they run the 25 square wing? Can you run it on everything?
Yep, you have to run the 25 on everything.
Oh, okay. All right. And they're flat, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So OCRS, there's a lot of good drivers that run in that series, and Zach Chappell comes to mind, the youngest driver to ever win a Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour Championship at the age of 19. That was a long time ago, right? He's not a young man anymore. But he's one of your stars in that series, and it seems like for him, financially, you know, him and his dad have made it work for them with OCRS. Just talk about some of the quality of drivers that you have that run with the Oil Capital Racing Series.
We have a lot of good and quality drivers, and a lot of them have started out when we were back at the old Tulsa Speedway days before it shut down, and most of those guys went on to travel to do the OCRS deal. Like Zach and David Chappell, they've been big supporters of OCRS. Joe Bob Lee down in Lawton, he was our 2021 champion. Him and his family travel from Lawton up to Northeast Oklahoma almost every week, so it's guys like that that help keep everything going. We got Casey Wills. He's a big contender when it comes to OCRS. Terry Eason, Allison Slayton, even Danny Wood, who used to do the ASCS and World of Outlaw tours back in the day. He's been one of our supporters this year. Sheldon Barksdale, Whit Gassineau, and Stephen Chabester, who had a stellar year with us in 2021.
You know, those are some quality drivers for OCRS. I don't know how much the difference is between an OCRS car and, say, an ASCS National Tour car. Is there quite a bit of difference between? I know the motors are a little bit cheaper, right? The 305s are not as cheap as they used to be, right? They're getting a little high. But just talk about that a little bit about the program that you have with the 305s, and isn't that a great place for somebody to kind of learn and kind of teach their way up to a 360 car?
Yeah, and that's what OCRS has always been about ever since it started. A lot of the kids would go from micro sprints to getting a two barrel, which is what the champ sprints are.
Yep.
And then we 305 started getting a little bit bigger down in the Lawton area and picking up in the Oklahoma City area over the past couple of years. And so when we made the change to allow both of them together, we talked to a few engine builders, and everything is pretty much equal. You know, there's just sometimes that, you know, if it's a dry slick track, a 305 might have an advantage. If it's a hammer down track, the two barrel might have advantage, but we've had pretty even on wind counts and top tens between two barrels and 305s, where everything really is just about equal.
Did you get a lot of, I don't know if I want to call it negative feedback, but when you allowed the 305s to get in there, was there some rumbling when you allowed that to happen? Because that, you know, that's a risk that you took right there.
Yeah. Me and Kerry also acquired the Sprint Series of Oklahoma, which was doing the two barrel and 305 back in 2020. And we acquired that at the end of the year and combined everything all together. And we were able to see what they were doing and the car count and all that they had, and then go over to when we were just a two-barrel series and running the small 14 or 16 square wings and comparing numbers and statistics. We weren't even running in the state of Oklahoma besides at Salina when we were just a two-barrel series, and we were able to combine all that. And now we're an Oklahoma-based series with, you know, a few races we go to Kansas and a weekend we go to Missouri, but we're able to stay centrally located now that we can combine the two, even though there was some rumblings from going from the small wing to big wing and a few things that the two barrels had to change and able to make us bring the 305s in.
The two barrel, that's a 4412, I believe, two barrel, isn't it? A 500 two barrel, isn't that correct?
Yeah.
All right, well, I know the OCRS season kicks off. I'm looking at the website right now, so I'm cheating a little bit. 37 days, 4 hours, 34 minutes, and 22 seconds until the first race at Red Dirt Raceway. That's on March 4th. Is that a two-day show? Or is that that is a two-day show, and at Red Dirt Raceway.
Yep.
So, You know, the thing I really want to talk about really the most, Terry, is your acquisition of the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour as well as ASCS. I don't want to pry too deep, but I know that you've always visioned yourself as the owner of ASCS. You were hopeful that that day would come down the road some way, somehow. It finally did come about. Talk about the conversation with you and Emmett the day that he approached you about purchasing ASCS.
Oh man, I was driving along to work that day, and I got a phone call, and Emma was talking about a few things, and he said, you know, I want to sell ASCS. And when those words came out of his mouth, my heart dropped, because I knew in years past there's been, you know, a few rumors and a few times that he did think about it. And I never would have guessed that the next word out of his mouth was, but I want to sell it to you.
Right. I'm going to ask you, Terry, did you shed a tear when he said it?
I sure did. It was just a couple of weeks after Nan passed away, and, you know, it's still going through, really, did we really lose her? Like, she was in the hospital for over a month, and, right, you know, it just didn't seem real that all this stuff was happening.
It was too surreal, wasn't it? You know, a lot of emotions going on there with Fuzzy passing and everything. There was so much emotion, not only with you, but everybody that was around Fuzzy all the time. You know, Fuzzy lived right across the street from the ASCS office. You saw her a lot. She always made sure that things were going right, you know. And I know that they miss her. I miss her, to be honest with you. I miss her a lot. But there had to be a sea of emotions when that time came.
There was. I'm going 80 down I-44 heading into Tulsa, and it just, the waterworks came down. I really felt like it was a dream, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, well, I'm sorry to keep pressing on that, but, you know, we all miss Fuzzy so much, and I know, yeah, a lot of people do. It wasn't the same. It was great to see everybody wear the purple shirts on Saturday night down there in honor of Fuzzy, too. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, we were able to sneak those in. Kaylee, Blake's sister, and Ashley Ward, we all kind of were sneaking around trying to get people's phone sizes, or not phone sizes, but
shirt sizes,
yep, and all that. And we were able to pull it off and get all them shirts done and hand them out, and was able to pull it off.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to be able to get my hands on, but they're probably all gone. So if there's ever any 3Xs laying around, just grab me one, because I'd like to have it just in honor of Fuzzy. So, Terry, you really stepped up with the ASCS National Tour. You know, I'm going to say it. There was, you know, a lot of people, they don't like it when they cut the money, right? Nobody likes that, right? But sometimes you got to make good business decisions, and I think what Emmett did, he had to do, right? Because the pressure was on to keep good quality drivers with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. But this year, you've chose to up the point fund money. Let's go over that just a minute.
Back in 2020, the point fund was cut down just a little bit just because of COVID and only having a few races. And 2021 was kind of one of those deals where we really didn't know what was going to happen, if we were going to be shut down again, if we weren't going to be able to race or what. And so I just had a feeling that, you know, with everything going on and new blood coming in to purchase it and run it and all that, just do a little bit of something to entice people to stay around and come run our tour, with not going out west, not going out east, but just staying centrally located, just to kind of see how that would work to bring it back.
Yeah. How tough a decision was it? Because, you know, Dirt Cup, that's one of the biggest events of the year, right? And we love going out there. We love the people out there. We always had a great time when we were out there. But financially, it really didn't make sense for the teams, because For me, I know that when we'd go out there to do the broadcast, because we had that 1 week off in between, and that was kind of a bummer that we couldn't fill that date. Not every year we couldn't fill that date. I think we did a couple times. But it's just too financially taxing on the teams and people like ourselves to go out there and do those races out there. That was probably a tough decision to give up Dirt Cup, wasn't it?
Well, Dirt Cup was the reason, probably the number one reason why we weren't going out there. They ended up deciding that they wanted to switch it to 410s, and we couldn't go out there to run Grace Harbor and then have 3 weeks off before going to Belgrade. And so we looked at some other date to move around. We just couldn't make it work, but hopefully in the next year or two, we were able to grow our base back up and hopefully make a big swing out there and make it where it's worth it for the teams and just everyone in general.
Terry, do you see a little more interest in 410 racing now than we have seen in the past? I see a little influx, a little bit of that going on. But I still think we have a ton of quality. I mean, you look at the guys that are driving in your series with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour, all the great drivers that are in that series as well. But do you feel a little trend of some 410 racing happening right now a little bit?
Yeah, I see that it's one of the open motor deal has really been taken off, and that's allowing the 410s to come back. And you know, there's a lot of interest in people going around in 410s, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know,
no, not at all.
As an owner of a 360 series, I have to try to up my game a little bit to make it enticing for those guys to stay in 360s and run with us when we're running, and then you know, let them still go run their 410, you know, 20 sometimes a year when we're not racing. So it's a different perspective now that I'm an owner of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to try to keep those guys in 360s as long as I can.
That was tough, giving up PA too a little bit, I'd imagine, wasn't it? That's a tough decision because, you know, when we went out there, when we first went out there, I thought, you know what, we're going to be surrounded by a bunch of 410 snobs, right? They're going to hate on us. They're not going to like that we're out here. We're 360s. Yeah, you know, it's 410 country, right? But when we did go out there, everybody said, we've been waiting for you to get here and come out and run with us with the national tour. And we had a couple great weekends or a couple great nights out there. But again, it's one of those things that just didn't make financial sense. But that had to be a tough decision to pull out of PA.
It really was, because when I started working on the schedule in 2015 and handling all the scheduling duties and stuff, I wanted to get the national tour in Pennsylvania, and we were able to get a show at Williams Grove and Sealands Grove. It took 3 years to do,
mm-hmm.
3 years of calling, 3 years of planning, but we finally got it done, and we're like, man, we're in, we're going to be able to do this. And you know, every year we tried, and I think only one, the first year we went out there, we were able to race both nights, and ever since then either got COVID out or rain out another year, and then this year we got winded out at Williams Grove and was able to race at Sealands Grove.
Yep. We're visiting with Terry Maddox. He is the promoter of the Now 600 ASCS Regions Oil Capital Racing Series and the United Rebel Sprint Car Series. You know, we did the broadcast for, I don't know, 10 or 12 years for Rick Salem. And Rick came to you, I think it was, and you know, you're the first guy people come to right now, right? Because you're the granddaddy of all open wheel promoting right now because you got so much going on. How did it come together with you and Rick Salem with the United Rebel Sprint Car Series?
I've known Rick for a while, and we got to talking a little bit when we co-sanctioned stuff up at 81 Speedway this year with OCRS and URSS. And I heard some rumors going around that, you know, he was interested in possibly selling at the end of the year. And we were up there one night, and it was actually a Sooner Region show, and URSS was there. And me and Rick took a ride around the pit area and discussed a few things, and a few months later we were able to purchase it from him. He's still going to be able to run it for us here for a couple more years until he tells us he doesn't want
to
travel anymore. So it's still like it's his. It's just we're going to be able to help him out and take some of the financial load off of him.
That had to be a key component to have Rick stay on with you for a couple years so you can get your legs under you with all these other things that are going on, to know that he knows every aspect of the United Rebel Sprint Car Series. That had to be a huge plus to be able to keep Rick on, wasn't it?
It really was, because URSS is Rick's baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he started it. He's ran it for, I think, 16 years. And so it was a key factor into keeping him there to, you know, help us learn the ropes of Kansas 305 racing, and for him just to say that he wanted to stay on and take care of everything for us.
Yeah, right. I got to be a little self-serving because, you know, we see a new track on the Lucasoil ASES National Tour schedule. I think it's June 24th and 25th. You guys are going to be going to I-70 Speedway with the ASES Warrior Region. A new venue, very nice venue. Tommy Estes is running that place now. Talk about going to I-70 Speedway just down the road from us here in Odessa.
We talked to Tommy a little bit back in October when we were starting to work on our schedule some, and just reached out to him to ask him if he would like to have an ASCS show or what it would take. And he told us that June 24th and 25th was going to be his 360 show. And at that time, we were uncertain about Washington because that was supposed to be the week of Dirt Cup. And a few days later, we learned that they were going to 410s and all for it. And so we were able to call Tommy and work a deal out to have a National Warrior Show sanction his 360 show. So it kind of all worked out with everything not happening in the West Coast. And Tommy was more than happy and welcoming to allow us to come over and sanction that deal for him.
Right. And Lakeside Speedway, again, on the road to Knoxville. That will be, I believe that, what is that, August 2nd, that we're going to be at Lakeside Speedway, a venue that you've been going to for quite a few years, Racing Boys and yourself. We've kind of partnered up on that deal. Lakeside Speedway, a great venue.
It really is, and it's a joy, and it's a pleasure to work with such great people every time we go up there, and for them to allow you and I both to continue putting on ASCS shows. We tried that Tuesday deal on that sprint week that we did in 2020, and it worked out really well for us. Yep. With all the teams heading up to Knoxville. And so I think last year when we did it, you know, it's just one of those deals we got to keep on building, and I think it's going to build up into a marquee event on the way to Knoxville.
We've got a good support group, the people that really enjoy ASCS around this region, especially in the Show Me State. And US 36 Raceway up in Osborne, Missouri, it's got more than one date this year.
Yeah, John was able to book us down for two dates. He's going to do a Saturday in the springtime and then a Friday night on his normal night in July, and just to see how well those will work out for him.
Yeah. And it's all going to kick off like it always does down at Mesquite, Texas. It's going to be the 49th annual Spring Nationals. It's the ASCS National Tour, and it's going to kick off at Devil's Bowl. Well, that's just tradition, isn't it?
Yep. You know, we were planning on going out to California and Arizona to start the year off, and then with all everything happening and a few of our dates conflicting since the Outlaws are going to be in there a week after us, you know, it just made sense for us to pull back and try to figure out a new game plan to try to get back out there. And it also kind of helped me out a little bit with still being able to do now 600.
Yeah. Well, Terry, do you ever feel like you've got a big load on your shoulder? Do you ever feel like, man, I've taken on a lot here? Do you ever question yourself at all?
Not since the schedule's done.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
The schedule's when it was a big stress trying to put everything together, make everything fit. And so now that it's over with, and we have people in place, I think we're ready to go.
Yeah. Do you think down the road, gosh, I'm sorry I got to ask you this question, but it's got to be asked. Do you think down the road there'll be a chance that the National Tour could pay more with the purse at some point? Is that your goal, is to bring in some partners and try to create a little more revenue? You know, because we hear that from time to time, that guys would like to race for a little bit more. Do you think that's a possibility down the road?
I think so. I have some things up my sleeve. I've looked at some things that some other series have done. And there's a 2-3 year plan to try to do something like one of the series that's around here to try to make it enticing for these 360s to do a national tour.
Yeah. Well, that's great, bud. I am so happy for you. And I'm just, the only thing that I worry about, Terry, is you're putting too much on your shoulders and you get wore out. You know, I used to always tell Fuzzy this, just so you know. I used to always tell Fuzzy, you know, Terry would be the guy if you were going to pick somebody outside of the family to run ASCS. And I always told her the reason why is because at your age, you could do it for the next 30 years. You know, right? I mean, it put somebody young. Don't get an old dude like, you know, somebody 50, 60 years old, because that's just a short-term fix. The long-term fix is having somebody young like yourself that can do it for the next 30 years. Do you picture yourself doing it that long?
I picture to do it until I can't do it no more, honestly. I can't picture what it'd be like without any of this in my life.
Yeah. Well, Terry, I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. I'm so looking forward to being listen, now that I'm not traveling up and down the road as a gypsy like yourself, I'll be able to go to a lot of races and enjoy myself and not have to worry about broadcast. I know that you've partnered up with our friends over at Race and Dirt. They're going to be doing the ASCS Warrior Region stuff, right?
They're going to do our Warrior, our Sooner, pretty much all the regional stuff that they can, and then along with OCRS, URSS, and our non-wing deal that we also purchased, the United Sprint League.
Yeah. Well, Stick and Trenton do a good job over there, and, you know, they used to work here back in the day, long, long time ago. But they've done a great job with their platform, and I think it's a great home for you guys. I think it's going to work out well for you. Terry, thanks for taking the time joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. We'll be talking to you down the road, I'm sure, sometime during the summer. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
All right, there you have it. Terry Maddox, he is the man with the plan when it comes to Now 600, ASCS Regional Action, Old Capital Racing Series, and the United Rebel Sprint Car Series. He has got a load on his shoulders, but I know one thing about that guy. He is not afraid of work, and he is going to do the best job he possibly can. I just believe in Terry. I just believe that he's young enough, and he's a hard enough worker that it's all going to work out great for him. All right, we're going to come back with more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all being brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. Made in America, sold to the world. We'll be back in a moment with Robert Ballew.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine.
Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive. Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tea time today.
As your power steering pump ages, seal leaks may occur, causing the power steering system to lose fluid. Your power steering system may also develop an annoying squeal, and the steering may become more difficult to handle. By using Lucas Power Steering Stop Leak, you will stop the seal leaks, reduce slack in rack and pinion, eliminate the squeals and hard spots in your power steering system. It is guaranteed to stop seal leaks or your money back. Lucas Power Steering Stop Leak. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. Again, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. I turned my headphone down a little bit too much there, Austin. I couldn't hear myself. I was a little lost there for a second. We want to thank Lucas Oil Products for coming on board with the show. It means so much to us. We've been in a 12-year relationship with those guys over there. They sponsor the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour broadcast for all the years that we were out there, except for one, I believe. So they believed in Mostly Motorsports, and here we are, man. We're doing this show, and it is what it is. It's just, you know, listen. I don't write down many notes, right? I write down a few bullet points just to remind myself of a couple topics. But for the most part, this show is going to be about opinions. And as the season goes on, I'll start the show off with a little monologue and be giving you my opinions about what I feel is going on in motorsports and what's happening during the time. You know, that could include talking about drivers that are out there. It could be talking about racetracks that are not in the greatest condition. And one of the guys that's not afraid to speak what's on his mind, he's been a longtime friend of the Racing Boys. And maybe one of the greatest stories I've ever told about a non-wing sprint car driver was when Robert Ballou put all four wheels up in the fluff and lapped all the way up to third place at Lakeside Speedway. Robert Ballou joins us down the show. Robert, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing all right, bud. How about that day that you did that at Lakeside Speedway? Was that the first time you'd ever done that, put all four wheels up in the fluff and just smoked everybody like that?
No, I think I had done back in the day, I say back in the day, probably 2010 or so, Kokomo Speedway, and even prior to that, probably 7, 8, 9. Kokomo Speedway used to build a curb about three quarters the way up the track, and guys like Brad Sweet, when he was driving for Yaley and stuff, they would, or me and a couple other guys, Darren Clayton, we'd all try, and if you could make 30 laps above the cushion, you would win. But It wasn't the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, for sure.
But that particular night at Lakeside, in the heat race, I had went up there one lap, and I'm like, oh, this is so good, I can't show my hand. I think I did it after the checkered, and I'm like, this is where I'm going. So I knew from before we even pushed out for the feature where I was headed, and I didn't think anybody was creative enough, because it was so slick below it, because it had rained and whatnot, that I had my game plan, and it just happened to work out perfect.
Yeah. Let's go back, but we'll talk USAC here in just a moment, because you know you're a past national champion, but I want to talk about the old TNT days when Emmett Hahn used to have that touring topless.
That was great.
That was good times, wasn't it, man? And those races paid some pretty good money.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe now that they've backpedaled or sold off to what, Terry, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll happen.
Maybe we need to talk. Know. Maybe we need to talk Terry into doing it, right?
Yeah. He's he obviously seems to have plenty of energy by watching him at the Chili Bowl. Maybe that's something that he would go for.
You know, I don't know about you, but traveling up and down the road, I did it for 13 years with the National Tour. And to be honest with you, I'm going to be 62 next month. And it started to burn me out a little bit. Do you ever feel like when you're out on the road that sometimes, even not just as a driver, because everybody loves the driving part of it, right? But do you ever feel like you get a little burnt out when you're out there on the tour?
Yeah, you know, my situation's a little bit different than probably most. I mean, I'm sure it's all similar, but you know, unfortunately, I've been hurt so many times in the last 4 or 5 years that, you know, I had 8 months off when I broke my neck and my back out in Calistoga in end of 2016 or whatever, and then in 2019 I only got a couple races and I broke both bones in my forearm and stuck them out the side, and six surgeries later, and I think 10 or 11 months later, I finally was able to get back going. And then obviously that turned into the COVID year, and I just feel like I haven't even been able to get back, and, you know, between working full time and this is actually the first time since probably the beginning of 2016 that I feel that I'm physically ready to race. I think I was just going, I don't want to say going through the motions, but, finding help is hard nowadays.
Yep.
As everyone knows, nobody wants to work. So I have minimal help. Heck, I got a guy that drives, one of my sponsors actually, that drives from Pennsylvania almost almost every week to, I think last year he missed 5 races that I ran. I ran probably 40 races. And I think he made it to 35 of them or something, just because he knows I need help.
Right.
Obviously I work full time to be able to make the deal happen. I don't have any huge, sponsors. I have a couple, I have a couple that have stepped up and made it to where I can keep going. So that's helped. But, this is the first time that I've been trying to exercise and take some pounds off, and my race car program is probably is in as good a shape as it's been in some time.
Yeah.
And other than lacking help in the shop and someone that's consistently going every night, that's pretty much the only thing at the moment that I'm lacking.
Right. So many people, Robert, when you talk to him, you say, hey, man, I'm out on the road, I'm traveling. They think it's the life of a rock star, right? Until they get out there and they do it for a couple months and they go, oh, my gosh, I didn't think I was going to have to work this hard.
Yeah, this sucks.
Right. This is a bummer, man. I'm going home. I bet you've went.
Yeah.
How many guys do you think you went through in your career?
I've been fortunate, not very many. I had When I first moved out to Indianapolis in 2007, obviously I was with Jimmy, and then that was for 2 years, and he took a job making a lot better money down in Texas. And then it was me and Derek, or I had Heavy D out here for a year from California, because when Jimmy finally got word that he got the job, it was like February, so we were like scrambling. Heavy D had been part of my team with my dad when I was in California, so he came out and bailed us out for the year. But he does upholstery, so he had to go somewhere else. So there's two guys. Then Derek had helped Dallas and Justin Marvel before I ever came to Indiana, and he was with me for he was with them before I was around, and so he stayed, and it was from 2011 to 2016, when I got hurt, he was still with me. And then 2017, he was around for most of it, and then he kind of bailed out. They were in, I think he got burned out. And we talk, and some days I think he's coming back. He acts like he's coming back, and then he doesn't come back.
right. He thinks about it a minute or two, and then goes, "No, I don't think I want any more of that."
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's about, I don't think, 12 years older than me. I'm 30, I think, too. And you know, age is catching up with him. Probably, he's, you know, I think he's recently divorced, and I think he's 21 again. So,
yeah.
I think, you know, times. You know, I would love for him to come back, but you know, you just never know. So you just, I don't feel like I'm ready to be done yet. So, shame on me for even, you know, some days trying. You know, most of the time it's me and my girlfriend and maybe one guy. You just never know who's going to show up, and you know, you hope 4 or 5 guys come, but. You know, I think where my consistency is lacking is having somebody, the same guy every night, like I did for all those years with Derek. And, you know, you build a relationship, and it shows with all teams, whether it's, you know, Ricky Warner and Donnie Schatz or Brad Sweet and, you know, Pritzman. You know, the longer you're together, the better the team gels. And even on your bad nights, you can still make them good. And, you know, and that's, you know, what I'm lacking at the moment. And hopefully, we can overcome some of that this season.
You know, if I wasn't doing this podcast, I'd just go out and help you myself. I think I'd just
because
you know what? That would be a mess. Me and you, two of the most unfiltered people in the world, that might not be a good thing if I was out there with you on the road. That could end up being problems.
You never know.
We're visiting
could
with
be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it could be. We're visiting with the 2015 USAC National Sprint Car Series champion. He's got 36 wins. I gotta go over these stats a little bit, right? You've been in 571 USAC races. You've won 36 of them. How about this? 94 podium finishes in that time. You've been the fastest. You've had the fastest laps 12 times. Your win percentage is 6.3, but the podium finish is what's impressing me. 16.5% of the time you're on the podium. That means you're one of the best in the business there, Robert.
Yeah, you know, there was a point that I felt like we got on top of the world, per se, where between Don Ott and myself and Derek, we got good engines and I got one good engine. I sold out and sold everything I had and took every money I had out of my savings account and bought one brand new motor.
Mm.
And that kind of changed, you know, my whole program. And then I ran 28 nights and was able to rebuild that engine, which was longer than he wanted me to run it. But I had no choice. It was the only thing I had. But I made enough money in those 28 nights to rebuild it and buy another one.
Mm.
Just off race winnings and stuff. So I did that. And, you know, meanwhile, you know, you work full time and Derek worked full time at the same time. So we worked, but like, you know, every night we'd go to the shop and work for 3 or 4 hours and 5 hours and you know, get everything done. And when you're riding the high, it's easy to stay on the saddle, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and once, you know, I broke my neck and back, and we were done for 8 months, and that kind of like take the wind out of your sails. And then
did you think about
a little bit of a struggle?
Did you think about quitting during that time?
No, not at all. You know, I've said it before. I'm here for a good time, not a long time. And
right.
This is what I've done since I was 5 years old. I go to work to make sure that my electric bill's paid, so I don't get cold in the winter. Because boy, is it cold right now here.
It is.
But
cold.
I live when I go racing. It is a pain in the ass. A lot of work, but. You know, it's like my vacation more or less, even though it is, you know, more than a job. I just love to be, racing. It's all that I've done. And at this point, you know, I had said it a few years ago, I figure I have 5 good years left. And, if I'm lucky, I can make it past that. But, you know, one of these race cars that, you know, it's a dangerous sport, and you never know from day to day. You know, unfortunately, these things can take your life. And if it ever happens, I'm not mad. It's what I've chosen to do, and this is what I love.
Yeah. You throw caution to the wind as much as anybody. And I want to step back to 2015. You ran 41 races. You had 13 wins and 20 podiums that year. Talk about 15 in that season that you had there, the 13 wins, because you pick up usually about a handful of wins, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, somewhere in that region, but that area. But that particular year, 13 wins. Just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, like the year before that, we actually won 7 USAC races. Once I got that new motor, I hadn't won a race the whole year. I got that first new engine from Don Ott, and we won 7. But I won 13 races total with like local shows and MSCS shows and stuff.
Right.
And then in 15, we won 20 races total, but 13 national shows, which that tied JJ Yaley for the second all time. I wasn't on my game. I guess you could say lost my load or whatever. The last night at Paris, I was the fastest car there, and you know, threw a slider a lap before I should have, and got into the fence and blew out my shock, and ended up running I think 3rd or 4th. And then the final night was battling hard with Brian Clausen, and you know, thought I had him on the last lap, and you know, he's one of the best there ever were. And you know, I started, I think, 18th or something, and had pulled up alongside of him on the last lap, and just couldn't make a proper pass. So I relegated to 2nd because, you know, the day, like nowadays, everyone just wants to run into each other to pass, and that's really not my MO. So, you know, I raced him just as good as he raced me, and he was, you know, I was going to have to wreck him to win the race, and that's not how I want to do it. So we all ultimately were tied with JJ. He did that in I think 2003, 2nd all-time most wins in a season. But you know, we finally got gelling really well. We got, you know, our race cars the best that they ever were, and we had the best engine package period on the USAC deal with Don Ott, and there was all new stuff. And since then, it's forced everybody else to step their game up, and you know, it shows. You know, Brady obviously, you know, has had the same guys now for multiple years, and you know, it shows that even when in adversity, you know, the longer you're with a team with the same guys, the easier it makes life.
Right. Yeah. The easier it gets as you work with somebody for a long period of time. What about this new World of Outlaw Extreme Sprint Car Series? Are you planning on running any of those races? They've got 2 races down there in February on a Tuesday, Wednesday. Day 1's $5,000. Day 2's $10,000. Are you planning on going down there and running some of that?
Yeah. I'm going to run those first 2. You know me. I think over the years, you know, USAC has not been the most fond of me.
Right.
And so I feel like now I truly feel like me and USAC are in a pretty good spot. Fine, it took 14 years, but I feel that they're in a pretty vulnerable spot. I probably should just keep my mouth shut, but you know,
you don't do that, but
I feel they're in a vulnerable spot, and I feel that with what Casey with the backing that Casey has with World Racing Group, I truly believe that at some point they could take over. That's not obviously going to happen this year. This is just a trial run to see if it's going to work. I'm not really a fan of Divide, but I do. I also think the only way that USAC was ever going to be forced to raise their purse and kind of give us what we deserve was for someone else to come in.
And be a threat.
Like when Emmett had the TNT deal, I feel like they had a little pressure then.
Yeah.
But then obviously, whatever happened and they shut that deal down for I don't know, not good reasons in my opinion, but that's here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
But Casey obviously has been around his whole life. His dad was a promoter for years with SCRA, and I think USAC ended up swallowing that up, and now it's CRA, which is owned by USAC, I believe, and Casey tried to get that war deal going, and I think in my head he, may not had the financial backing to make it what he wanted it.
Right.
And so obviously Kenny Brown ended up with that, and then he's where he is now with the late model deal. But they tell me that those are, from what I hear, them late model guys make sprint car guys look like a cakewalk.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as the politics and the whining and this and that. So hopefully they get a big enough following that they can come in next year and maybe step, run a full-time deal. And I do think it will give a lot of people, an option, a second option.
Yeah.
I don't think that USAC will ever go away, nor do I want it to go away.
Right.
But I do feel like, now that Tony Stewart has the All-Stars, he's able to, kind of put the – without probably spending any of his own money, he's able to put the financial pressure on World Racing Group and made them step up to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're starting to pay these guys, I feel like, what, maybe they're worth. But in Indiana, it's no secret. You get guys, unfortunately, they don't pay us enough, so we have to run, or people feel that they have to run every local show there is.
Mm.
Well, they pay peanuts, and unfortunately, nobody wins but the driver. The car owner loses every night he goes to a local show. But when you get guys like Justin Grant and Dave Darlin and Chris Windham and Kevin Thomas Jr. show up to a $1,400 to win Kokomo Speedway show that pays like maybe $200 to start.
That makes sense.
The drivers are slitting their own throats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been this way forever. Dave Darlin's the winningest guy, and he raced every single night of the week, whether it paid a cheeseburger to win or $10,000 to win. And so I understand why these local promoters don't want to pay anymore. Well, why have a USAC show, and B, why have a USAC show that they want a $10,000 to win race or what have you, when this, Dave Darlin, the winningest guy in the history of USAC sprint car racing, is going to be at my $1,400 to win show.
Right.
And I'm not, knocking any names by any means. I just feel that they've caused the, part of it on their own. With USAC running midget sprint cars and Silver Crown, that's then, not nowadays, only one guy ran all the races this year, Justin Grant. Other than that, most guys don't have a crown ride or don't have a midget ride.
Mm-hmm.
They either run midgets or they run sprint cars, or some of them run sprint cars and crown, but none of them really run them all.
Right.
So, but USAC's always ran with one group of, and less employees than they probably should have. to run, you know, all three divisions, but that's their deal. And, you know, when you got three or four guys that have to go to 90 something races, you can't, you know, at one point they had them split up and somebody didn't like that, or maybe they didn't want to pay as many people, or I'm not really sure the behind the scenes things, but you know, you can't run 40 races that only pay, you know, not everyone, you can't win every night, and fourth place pays $1,000 to win at 90% of the races.
Wow.
Well, if you don't win and you're only getting 40% from your car owner, you know, you're making, you know, $350 or something if you ran fourth place.
Right.
Well, it's tough to survive. It's tough for the owner to keep going. It's tough for everything. So that is a huge positive to what KC and the World Racing Group have got going. I think their 5,000 win shows, they're going to pay like $1,000 to, I think, sixth. And their 10,000 win shows, they're going to pay, I think, $1,000 to eighth place, which is ultimately going to be able to keep an owner or a guy like me, an owner driver, rolling up and down the road. As fuel prices climb to $4 a gallon,
yep.
And these trucks and trailers get, you know, 5 miles to the gallon, it's expensive to, you know, to keep going. Engine prices are going up. Everything's going up. But, you know, and there are, I don't want to say that USAC's not brought up some of their purses, but, you know, it probably should have happened 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, with Levi Jones leaving, you know, I felt that I feel like he did an unbelievable job, and they're not going to replace him. They have no plans to. They're going to just spread his workload out amongst a couple of other guys there. And you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the short foreseeable future.
Yeah, are you going to race for points, or are you just going to race for money this year?
Here's the truth. The truth is, if I go, so Casey, you know, put out, or I say Casey, but World Racing Group put out a press release saying that they were all going to work together, which obviously we knew how that was really going to go.
Yeah.
And they're not. They've scheduled three nights on top of a USAC schedule. So now you have to choose. And it's realistically four. When the USAC sprint cars are going to Wisconsin on a Saturday and a Sunday, they race Friday and Saturday. So in theory, you could drive to Peavey, Missouri and race Friday night and then, you know, haul ass up to Wisconsin, which is probably, 10 or 12 hour drive, I would be willing to bet, but I haven't even mapped it out, to then go run the two nights with USAC. But that's in, I think, May or June, which then causes you to make a decision. Do I race the 15 race World of Outlaw deal for 20,000 to win points, or do I try and run the 50 race schedule of USAC to win 50 grand?
Mm-hmm.
And with USAC they did step their purse up substantially for their own, for the point fund at the end of the year, and you know, I think it's 50 and 30. So like, I think it's fourth or fifth place here. Let's see. It says fourth place is 20 grand this year. 50, 30, 24, 20, 16 for fifth. So with some of the guys that have left, and then obviously there's still new guys coming in. So I feel like there's always about seven USAC full guys that run every single race. Someone gets hurt or something happens and somebody always misses a race, but there's normally seven guys that race every race since probably I've lived here since 2007.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll have seven cars. But you know, their tow money package is better. It's double what USAC's is. And their payout is, you know, somewhat the same, but it is better.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this in my mind, this is just the beginning. So I do believe that, in my opinion, if they hadn't scheduled on top of,
right,
they would have 40 cars a night. They'll probably have 40 cars a night now, but let's face it, not knocking any drivers or any particular area or what have you, but the USAC guys are the best in the business, and all the other series around that run non-wing sprint cars pretty much aren't.
Yeah.
When they come race with us, they're never in the top three.
Yeah.
So they're going to have a bunch of cars. Let's not knock that. But the quality isn't going to be there. There isn't enough quality drivers in 410 non-wing sprint car racing to be at both series at the same time on the same nights.
Yeah.
So it's going to suffer there. They'll still have the same cars or the same number of cars. They'll probably have more cars than us, is my guess. A lot of people see a USAC race and they steer the other way because they know that they don't have a chance.
The best of the best are running USAC, right?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, obviously you got Chase Stockin that's going to go do that deal, and I guess I've seen Chad Baselug, who's teamed up with Scott Bennick for this year, they're going to run that deal. You know, it's only a 15 race deal, so it's not that bad, and it's 20 grand to win the points, which is huge for 15 races.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you ran fourth in the USAC sprint car deal, you make 20 grand. But if I go and stay at Peevely for those two nights in May or June or whatever the heck it is, and don't go to Wisconsin, then I forfeit all of my any tow money, or if you're in the top 12 in points with USAC, when you leave the state of Indiana, you get, I think, $150 a night tow money, and you get two free pit passes at every race.
Oh, wow.
But you only get the tow money, which is $150, if you leave the state of Indiana.
Mm.
So you forfeit all that if you race against USAC one night. I learned this the hard way because I didn't know it was in the fine print. Back in 2014. And you also then have to pay a car entry fee every night, which is another $30. So you lose $90 between your pit passes and your car entry, and then you lose the $150 when you're out of the state of Indiana for the whole rest of the year.
Mm.
So if you add that up over the next, you know, you still got, you know, right after that you have sprint week, which is, you know, I think 8 nights and 9 days now that you're going to have to pay for those pit passes and blah, 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 blah. Well, that money adds up quick.
Yeah, it does.
And so for a guy like myself, you know, it's going to put me in a hard spot if I happen to be leading the World of Outlaw points, the Extreme Outlaw points. You know, what do I do? You know what I mean? Do I
tough decision
forfeit that money with...
Yeah.
You know, if you drop out of one race when there's only 15, you're pretty much screwed.
Right.
But if you're winning, if you're leading the points and you're, you know, halfway through the deal, like, you know, now you got a decision to make. Do I race for 20 grand or do I try and race for 50? You know, and realistically, nobody has a program right now. I'm a realist. Nobody has a program, in my opinion, to beat Brady Bacon other than myself if I have enough help to make it to the racetrack.
Right.
So everyone's pretty much racing for third place in points.
Right. Can you make, by the way it looks. Can you make your 410? How many nights with a non-wing car can you get out of the motor with 410? Can you get 15 out of it?
Well, yeah. I know... You know, like I run 20 nights on an engine unless I have any issues. Or every once in a while it happens to work out. It's got 15 or 17 nights on it when we go to Pennsylvania. And it's, you know, you save a couple $100 by just dropping it off there versus shipping it.
Right.
And then it all, you know, like you got to juggle it, you know. I'm fortunate I have, you know, three engines to where I'm not in a jam normally. Where some people only have two, some people only have one, but I know that, at some point, I know that a lot of these guys run 30, 40 nights on an on-wing engine. Now, is it ideal? No. But, you know, but they still manage to run decent. So I can't say that it's the wrong way, but I know that I can, you know, I can get my engine rebuilt for a heck of a lot cheaper than if I happen to run it too many nights and have a part failure and it blows up.
Right.
So I generally run 20 nights, but, you know, I know that, like, Danny Dietrich, for example, you know, runs, you know, 15 to 18 nights on an engine out in Pennsylvania. So I don't think, you know, other than the outlaw guys, or maybe some of the all-star guys, the top few,
yeah,
most of them are running more nights, you know, like the parts are getting better. So you're able to run them a little bit longer than you used to.
Right.
So I don't want to say it's misleading now, but I'm thinking that it is starting to come back together, kind of, where, you know, yeah, we might get five more nights out of an engine than you would with a wing car.
Yeah. Well, Robert, and that's some interesting stuff right there, the insight that you're giving us right now and the details of what it takes to tour up and down the road is just phenomenal, to be honest with you. It's very interesting to me. You know, I've heard for years that I'm just going to say it, I'm not trying to get on USAC, but I was told for years that it's very hard to make a living running a USAC non-wing sprint car, unless you're a guy that's running up front and winning enough races to justify it. The winnings wasn't enough to kind of justify running up and down the road a little bit. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, you know, and for me, being, I'm like, you know, I'm basically the only guy that's the owner driver. I mean, you know, Brady kind of owns his stuff, but Hoffman's, you know, help out and
right,
blah, blah, blah. He doesn't, you know, I go to work, you know, 50 to 60 hours a week to be able to survive and make sure that my race car can get up and down the racetrack, you know, up and down the road to get to the racetrack.
Yeah.
Now my boss is, I am very fortunate. My boss, Scott Ronk, which is Parker Price Miller's stepfather. He lets me leave to go race whenever I want, but my work most of the time stacks up until I get back, and then I got hell to pay when I get back. But,
right,
you know, I moved here to race sprint cars, and so I'm trying to get myself in a financial position to where I can try and take 1 year to race full-time like Brady does, or, you know, where I don't have to go to work every day.
Yep.
And I truly believe that my race team will flourish because of it. You know, I've been making trips to Iowa, you know, once or twice a week for the last, 10 or 12 weeks. And, it's miserable. It's, 10 hours each way, get unload, you know, have your off time, get unloaded and, 10 hours back. And, I moved here to race cars. I feel like I can work for the rest of my life.
Right.
And if everything goes as planned, hopefully by next year I can, and, try and focus for 1 year. Yeah. I feel like if I can make it for a year without working, and my race team can, you know, make it to where I can, if I can get some extra sponsors and whatnot to make it to where I can be home and focus on my race team 100%, I'm pretty sure that I could be back to where I used to be.
Hey, do you ever come through Kansas City when you make that trip?
Well, you just never know. I don't think Lakeside's on the schedule. We're running I-70. That's not Kansas City, but it's close, isn't it?
Well, that's only about 40 minutes from here. But what I'm saying is, if you ever need a place to stay over and you want to save a little motel room money, just come on by Racing Boys, and we'll put you up at my house. But if that's all you got to do is just say you want to do it, and we got you covered. All right.
Right on. Absolutely.
All right,
buddy. Great.
Well, hey, listen. It's great to have you on the show. I always learn so much from you when I talk to you, man, because, you know, that unfiltered thing, that really works for us here at Mostly Motorsports. Thanks for coming on the show, and thanks for talking about everything that's, you know, in detail, because I don't think really people understand what it takes to travel up and down the road, and I think you just give a lot of people a great insight on what it takes to do that. And we're really going to be pulling for you this year, man. I hope that you can get back out there. If you choose to run for the USAC Championship, good luck. If you choose to run for the Extreme Championship, good luck. and hopefully you'll win some races, and we'll have you back on this summer. How's that?
Yes, sir.
All right, Robert. Thank you so much for joining us, buddy. All right. We'll talk to you. Thank you.
You have a good one. Thank you.
All right. There you have it. Robert Ballew. Now, was that intriguing or what? Austin, did you learn a little bit off of that right there, man? I mean, seriously. That guy knows a thing or two about a thing or two, doesn't he?
I'm a fan now. But, yes, it was very – I didn't know the ins and outs on USAC that, you know, he told us about.
Yeah.
I didn't know, you know, what their pit pass, you know, incentives and tow money and all that was. But
– yeah.
Kind of shows you the true side of USAC, if you ask me.
Well, I think USAC is good. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but you've got to run up front to make
a living doing
what you're doing. And Brady Bacon has proved that he can run up front. Hey, look, man, he's the guy to beat over there, right?
You just don't luck into four national championships. So
no.
Yeah, he's the guy to beat for now and a long time coming.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. We so appreciate you doing so. The numbers have been really good. The podcast numbers, where people go back and they listen to the show after the show's over, phenomenal. And we're really excited about the future of Mostly Motorsports here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. Again, thanks to everybody for tuning in. And we also want to thank our great sponsor, Lucas Oil Products, made in America, sold to the world. I want to thank Austin, who was flying solo today without Todd, and my partner, Kirk Elliott. I'm Scott Traylor, saying we'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's guest, Kendra Jacobs and Stan Caesar. And on Friday, we've already got booked, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. will join us Friday live right here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding nuisance fuel treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine.
Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Missouri's must play.
Whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.